pastor for giving me the opportunity to preach. I don't take it lightly. And hold on, getting my notes. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians 4:1-7, and I'm glad Pastor changed his message this morning because it would have been awkward if we would have preached the same message. So, if I say anything wrong, he can correct me next week. All right. First one says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, the ministry Paul talks about in verse 1 is basically simply the doctrines that we believe and, of course, the gospel. And he says, seeing as we have this ministry, we have received mercy. And I can tell you tonight that if you're saved, you receive mercy.
Amen.
And that's a good thing because a lot of us don't deserve it. And if you look at religions in a whole, Christianity stands out because it has mercy and forgiveness.
Amen.
And if every other religion doesn't even touch on that, or it's a harsh punishment for something, such as Islam. If you steal, they cut off your hand. Or, But there's no mercy in anything else. It's expressly found in Christianity. And I was watching a video the other day, and it was about, how do I word it? Does the morals we have in America stem from Christianity? Because, you know, a lot of people want to get rid of Christianity and say, no, you don't need a God to have morals, which technically is true. But when you look at other countries that don't have it, you don't really have the same morals. And he used an example as of, remember the guy in, I think it was Ohio? He walked up to somebody and shot him, and he live streamed it. You guys remember that? Yeah. Okay, let's we'll pretend you do. But he showed the family, and they were being interviewed by CNN, and the guy was asking them, you know, what would you say to the guy if he was still alive? And they said, well, we want to know that we forgive him. And if you just look at the interviewer's face, he's just, why? He killed your father. Why would you do that? And they said, well, he taught us what Jesus taught us, and Jesus taught us to forgive.
Amen.
And he said, we want just to know that we forgive him, and we want to share the gospel with him. And even when we think Christ himself showed plenty of mercy, think of the woman caught in adultery, right? They brought to him and said, this woman's been caught in adultery. We need to stone her. And basically said no. He said, go your way and sin no more. And we even think as he was dying on the cross and all the pain and agony, and right before he died, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And as Christians, he's explaining to them that we should show mercy. And he says, faint not. So faint not in the work of the gospel. And it says in Romans 12:1, I'll just turn there real quick. So when it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, as which is your reasonable service. I tell you, giving our lives to Christ is something, it's not, I guess, commanded, but it's the least we could do.
Amen.
It's something that is expected of us because what Christ did for us. He gave his lives for us, so it doesn't make sense we would give our lives to him.
Right.
So when we fall in Christ, we can't faint in the work of the gospel. Following Christ is not easy. Satan will actually seek to divert our attention from God, and that's so true. It's so easy to get distracted.
Yeah.
Especially, say you got something going on a Saturday. You know you're supposed to go to visitation, but I'll do this. Of course, then next week says, well, I didn't wake up last week, so I'll sleep in. And I've done that. It's easy, especially at church. It's easy to get out of the groove and then to stay with it. Then in verse 2, Paul tells them, but you have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now, so the Corinthians have started cleaning up their act, right? But they still were doing some things they weren't supposed to. And mainly they were listening to false teachers, such as them telling that Paul wasn't an apostle and all these other things. And also, they were telling them that they were simply doing the things that they were supposed to do, simply so that they could glorify themselves. And he explains soon and that they were being dishonest in it, and they were simply just using it to better themselves. But as Christians, we're a new creature, and we should renounce those things. And he tells them, he says, but you've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And you know, there's a lot of dishonest people in the world, also among Christians. Now, my friend, he worked at Panera over the summer, and he told me he had to work every couple of Sundays, just after lunch and everything. And he told me, he said, Sundays was the worst. Not because he had to miss church, which was terrible, but because all the church people came. And I thought, what? I don't understand that. So I said, you're going to have to explain. He told me, for instance, one day, this guy came in, and he wanted this certain type of bread, and they didn't have it. They ran out. And he was like, okay, just give me this, right? And so he said he seemed agitated, which, I mean, you would. I mean, they didn't have your favorite type of bread. It's kind of agitating. You know, you got to get some other bread you don't eat. But he went along with it. And he said when they brought it to him, he flipped out, basically. He started cussing and demanding that he get a free meal because they didn't bring him the right type of bread. And they were like, well, we already told you this. So basically, long story short, he calmed him down, they got him a free meal, and he eventually left. And they said, as he was leaving, he said, one of his coworkers was like, hey, look where he's from. And of course, he got in the van, said Temple Baptist Church or something like that. I think it's this ironic. And when he told me that, I said, hey, let's look up the church name. And we looked it up, and it was a Southern Baptist Church. So that was at least okay, I guess. It's understandable. But, so we looked up the staff and said, hey, let's see if he's on staff. And he was the pastor in between. He wasn't the official pastor, but he was just taking the place of the pastor while they, like, transitioning pastor, I guess, something like that. But, yep, there was his face, just smiling with him and his wife, and thought, well, that's good. Yeah. But I can tell you, the world watches our actions. They know what we do, and the world already scrutinizes you enough if they don't, you know, you're a Christian. But as soon as they do, they're going to watch you more careful because they want you to mess up. They want to say, well, look what you did. And he continues and says, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience. Basically, there's many deceivers in this world. Now, they told him, well, you're just deceiving everybody. And we can see that easily in Christianity. A lot of people, you know, in class, we discuss a lot of things. So I took contemporary theology, so basically it's about the Pentecostal movement, you know, speaking in tongues, all that, the healers. And we talked about it, and it said, you know, a lot of people don't trust Christians or pastors anymore, mainly because of all these TV evangelists.
Amen.
You know, you, like, Oral Roberts, right? Oral Roberts. We studied him, and he had a big hospital in Tulsa. And they said, you come here, and I'll heal you. Well, turns out a lot of people went there to spend all this money, and they weren't healed.
Yeah.
And there was one guy, I can't remember his name, but he was getting up in years, and he said, I think it was $4 million. And if I don't raise it, and it was like a month away, if I don't raise it, they're going to take me home. The Lord's just going to take me home. Well, he got the $4 million and some. Or they had one where one guy got up and said, the Lord believes I need a $1.2 million jet so I can travel the world and spread the gospel. Well, he got it. And then they usually come out in scandals, So with their mistresses or things with children, just horrible things. And, you know, people will start to not trust Christians. Now, we know they aren't really the true Christians as we would perceive, but they say they're Christians and they're on TV and they're famous and people see them as that. Yeah. Also, they didn't add on to the doctrines of the Bible. Now, in Bible college, we talk a lot about doctrine. I've heard coffee shop doctrine. It's more like dorm room doctrine. That's really what it is. And me being a senior, for some reason, everybody thinks I know a lot of doctrine. I do, but not a whole lot. I'm still learning. Basically, I discovered that I went in thinking I know a lot, and I'm coming out knowing I know nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that's how it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, especially freshmen. When freshmen come in, it's always strange. You always get those guys that disbelieve far out things. Now, I work shuttle for the school, and so I get to bus people to and from work, and so I take a lot of freshmen. And there's one guy, and we've been trying to work with him, but I don't know where that's going to go. I think he just really likes conflict. But one day he started telling me about how the Bible's not relevant for Christian life, and we don't really need the Bible. We just need to follow the teachings. And he started telling me that the New Testament doesn't matter with the Old Testament. There's no connection. I'm just like, and it was kind of like, you know, I'd show him verses and try to explain to him, but he just didn't want to listen. But there's also a reason there's so many denominations in this world.
Yeah.
I mean, you can drive down the street and you can see 100 different churches, say 100 different names, and you go in, they believe 100 different things.
Yeah.
But what also amazes me, though, is when you look at most of them that call themselves Christians, they mostly all believe that Christ came down to die for our sins, right? Most of them believe that. That's the reason he died on the cross. But then they add things to it, such as, well, you need to be baptized, or you got to keep sacraments, or you got to do this or that. And basically it just comes down to saying, well, God doesn't have to do anything for me, but I have to do something for God. But can I tell you, we don't have to do anything for God. He did everything for us. And all we have to do is simply believe and trust in him. It just doesn't make sense to men. Now, before Christ ascended, he told the disciples two things. And this is fundamental things that the church is supposed to do. It says, Matthew 28:19-20, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the world. Amen." Right? He says, spread the gospel, and then baptize them. That's it. So if he just told us that, it's important to him. And Paul explains in verse 3, and he says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And with so many different denominations and different doctrines, if we're hiding what we have, we're hiding the truth, who else is going to tell them? And the gospel is the greatest thing is the greatest thing you could ever share with someone.
Amen.
Yet they can't hear if we don't tell them. And he explains verse 4 that Satan is actively seeking to blind the lost. He says, "In whom the God of this world," so Satan, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Can I tell you, it's hard telling someone about the gospel. It's hard. It's uncomfortable because most people don't want to hear it. And as humans, we don't want to be uncomfortable. But it makes it even harder when someone's trying to confuse them, trying to make it to where you have to work through so many different things just to get them to understand what the gospel is. In verse 5, it tells us, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sakes." Now, 1 Corinthians 9, Paul gives us a good example of living for Christ. We can turn to it. In verse 14, Now, it says to preach the gospel basically means just to tell. So it's not just to preachers. But it says, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel shall live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For I do this thing willingly, I have reward, but if I against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not the power of the gospel. Basically, Paul's just telling them, if you're going to say you're a Christian, act like it. And he tells him, if any man can prove me wrong, he said, it's better for me just to die. He says, better be not to even try. And, you know, if you're living a two-faced life, you're it's wrong, basically. It's a terrible thing, because once someone gets in their head, they see, oh, well, you did this. So why would I want what you have? It's hard to ever change their mind, because they'll always point back to the one thing that you did. And, you know, it's wrong, you know, forgiveness, but they're sinners. They're lost people. They don't understand. And frankly, they don't really care, because, you know, you have to change your life to follow what Christ taught. Sure, you are a new creature, but you have to actively try to live a better life. You don't just get saved and you just sit and you're like, all right, I'm better. No, I mean, you have to try. You have to rely on God, and it takes work. And you have to give up things. Things, let's be honest, that are fun. I mean, going to church every Sunday morning, who actually likes to wake up at 8, you know, or 7, and get up, put on a suit, and go to church? I mean, I like going to church, but, you know, I mean, who likes to wake up and get dressed, go for an hour, and then you go back home? I'll be honest, I'd prefer to sleep in. I don't know if I'm just a terrible sinner, but I'd prefer to sleep in some days. Or, you know, you think about just going to Bible college. I remember in my senior year, I'll be honest, I had good grades. I had some things going for me, and my counselor was trying to tell me all these schools I could go to, and I'm like, well, I'm going to go to Heartland Baptist Bible College. They're like, what? I'm like, it's in Oklahoma City. It's a Bible college. And they looked it up, and they're like, it's unaccredited. I'm like, I didn't know what that meant. I was like, okay. And they were like, you know you're giving up all these things. And they said, you know, this school and that school. You know, I had some offers from, like, LSU. And I was like, well, okay. You know, her mind was just blown. She's like, so you're just going to waste your life? I'm like, I guess. If going to Bible college is wasting my life, I guess I will. And it just didn't make sense to him. And following Christ to the world just doesn't make sense. Why would you give up everything to follow him? But he tells us in verse 6 why. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, our ability to share the gospel comes from God. If you try to do it in your own power, it's not going to go too well. We also know that our salvation comes from God, and no one can take that away. But we can't hide it, so we have to be careful in the things we do. Now in verse 7 he says, our salvation is a treasure. He says, we're kept in earthly bodies when we're saved, so that we can show others of Christ. I mean, it would be great if you were saved and you didn't have to deal with this life anymore, all the problems it comes with, but you simply just went to heaven. That would be great. Yeah. But then how would anybody else hear? The apostles spread the gospel to the whole known world. They did this through the power of God. They did this through relying on the Holy Spirit and relying on Christ's teachings. Now, we don't have tongues or anything like that anymore, but In 1 Peter 1:19, he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy.
Amen.
And if you're going to live through the Christian life, you got to rely on the Bible. You got to read your Bible every day, right? It's a little kid's song. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Right? It's simple. But if you don't do it, you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Now, in conclusion, it's 51, so I think it went like pretty long. But when we got the assignment at the beginning of the year, they said I had to preach out twice, and I already did one. And it was like a 20-minute message or something like that. And they said you got to do a whole service, so they're like, so not a 20-minute, but like an hour. I'm like, well, I don't think that would work in my church. but in conclusion. When you go to your place of work, or you go to school, or gas station, or going out to eat, do you try to spread the gospel? I mean, it's not hard. Or going to a grocery store, just simply taking a tract out of your pocket and just say, hey, I'd like to invite you to church. And that's all you can do. Hey, that's enough. At least they have a gospel in their hand. Now, if you feel more comfortable and, they're not busy, maybe you can give them the gospel. But if you never give them the track, if you never at least try, they're never going to hear. Or they're going to hear something else, then they'll lead them off and astray. And then another thought, if someone was to look at your life, could they say that you're a Christian? By the way you dress, by the way you act, by the way you talk. Do your people at your work say, yeah, he's a Christian? Or if you told them, like, say they never knew, and you asked and said, are you a Christian? And they'd be like, would they say, no, he doesn't go to church. Would they say, yeah, I can see that. And in 2 Timothy, Paul explains to Timothy this. He basically tells him, if your life isn't what it's supposed to be, and you're not spreading the gospel, because he tells him to stay faithful. He says, if you're not faithful to what God has called you, who is actually going to tell them? He said, you see all these false teachers. You see all these things that are going on. He says, if it's not you, then who? Now, giving up on church and just giving up on trying to spread the gospel is easy. It's easy not to do nothing. So I want to challenge you tonight to this week, just try to share the gospel. And I know in my personal life, that's been something I've been trying to struggle with. I mean, trust me, it's hard to keep tracks in here. It really is. It's not. But keep them in your car. Keep them in your car, and that's an easier way than keep, because not everybody has shirt pockets. Keep it in your car and run out real quick, and then run back, then put your tip on the table, or something like that. But just share it. Just do it. In visitation this week, go to that. There's three times to do it. Sorry, we only have two up there. So yeah, just want to challenge you to be a Christian this week and share it with somebody. And that's the pastor.
As we think about young men being called, we need to remember that it's part of our ministry to see they be trained as well and have opportunities to preach. And if that wasn't the Lord this morning changing my message, what else could you? I mean, honestly, think about that just for a second. I was going to preach that exact same verse. Is all six, not seven, but six, verse by verse. Yes, the Lord, that's the Lord. There's no doubt at all, not one. And I love when that happens, because it just confirms in my mind again that, because I'll have somebody say to me every once in a while, hey, preacher, what are you preaching on? And I'll say this or that, and then I'll get up here and maybe at my office before I get up here, I'll say, the Lord changed my message. And some people, cynical a little bit, I changed your message. Yeah. No, it does. It's amazing how the Lord confirms that, whether it's through the music sometimes or, and then to see this happen. What a great passage of Scripture, I'm telling you now. And I can't wait next Sunday morning to preach on it. I will be preaching on it next Sunday morning. And we do have this ministry. And this ministry is the New Testament ministry, not the Old Testament law. And we have this ministry. And I the gospel of Jesus Christ in earthen vessels. It means a clay pot. It means a clay pot. It means a worthless clay pot. It's the clay pots they use to put trash in. It's what we are. So that God could get the credit and we don't. So the person will see the gospel and see the message and not see us. That's the whole thing. It's not about us. It's about him. And may we this week make it about him and tell others of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I love how it says, in the face of Jesus Christ, that we see the glory of God, who and what God is, in the face of Jesus. And so let's just raise Jesus up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen? All right, let's all stand. We'll have a verse of invitation. Appreciate Dylan tonight. Lord, touch your heart, you come tonight. Hymn 163. Only trust him after we pray. Heavenly Father.